A very good morning to you. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. The sun is shining and the Son, Jesus Christ, is among us and the Spirit is with us. We are so thankful to have our brother Daniel and his wife Abigail with us this morning from the EYN. He's the General Secretary, and we are just so blessed to have them join us for our services this morning, and we look forward to hearing from them a little later in the service. We just want to highlight Vacation Bible School. Who's going to tell me what dates are Vacation Bible School? July 10th to the 14th, and they begin at what time? 8:30 a.m. You guys are good, and we're looking forward to a great time with the heroes of the faith and just being ministers and serving God, the children and God during that week. So we look forward to having the children come out, and we encourage you to invite your neighbors to have them join us here at Little Swatara. We also just want to highlight that this morning we consecrated the annual conference delegates, and if you're part of the mission team with the youth or advisors going on that trip, we would like to dedicate you this service as well. I sent out a reminder at like 10:30 last night, but knowing teenagers, they probably got that reminder, didn't they? So we're very thankful to have a team serving in South Carolina and also delegates heading to annual conference. We just want to open the mic if there's anyone that has other announcements that they'd like to highlight this morning. Just put your hand in the air and we'd be glad to get a mic to you. Any other announcements? Okay, let's open with a word of prayer, and then our opening hymn is Move in Our Midst, number 418. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. We thank you, Father, for your abundant love, your abundant grace that is poured out upon us. We thank you, Father, for the morning that you have provided for us, the sun shining outside. We thank you for your Son, and we pray now that you would focus us in on who you are and what you have in store for us during this service. And we just praise you, Father, for our brother and sister from the EYN joining us this morning, and ask that you would be with them and be with all our brothers and sisters, part of the EYN this morning as well. And we just praise you for who you are, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 418, Move in Our Midst.
Thank you.
At this time, we'd like to invite any of the South Carolina Mission Team members that are here for consecration just to come forward. And we're going to invite the congregation, if you could just extend your hands toward the team as we pray for them. And we just look forward to what God's going to do in their midst as they serve in South Carolina. We know there'll be some construction they'll be doing, and we pray that there'll be some interaction with people there as well, and they can share Christ with their words. But actions certainly speak loud as well. So we are so thankful for this team that's been formed. My son and my daughter are also going, but they are already on their route to annual conference with Jake, my father-in-law, who's actually going with as well. Is there anyone else that's missing from the team, or is this pretty much the rest of you? Okay. So let's, why don't we join together as a team, hands united for Christ's cause, and if you all can just stretch your hands toward the team and join in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the team that you have brought together, a team that is committed to your work, a team that is committed to your service. And we know, Father, the power that goes forth as they serve in your name. And we think of those residents in South Carolina that will be serving, the homes that have been destroyed and the people there that have been displaced. And we just pray, Father, any interactions they may have, they would be able to share your love with the words that come forth from their mouth. But Father, as their hands, as their feet are used to do your work, we pray that you would give them safety. As they travel, Father, we pray that you would travel with them, protecting their vehicles, protecting the trailer being towed behind. And we just thank you, Father, for this very moment to be able to set them apart, because we know that when we answer the call that here we are, you indeed use us. So we pray, Father, that you would use this team headed to South Carolina, that you would bless them, you would unify them. We know as the week goes on, our strength can be weary and we can be on edge, but we pray, Father, for your strength to be upon each of them and your encouragement to be with them daily. And we just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to allow them to know your presence with them as they serve. And we are so blessed to send them forth and to set them apart for this specific purpose. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. And all God's children say, amen. Lord, bless each and every one of you as you serve. Our prayers are with you. Pastor Round will encourage you to share any joys or concerns that you may have with us this morning. Again, it's a joy to have Dr. Daniel Mbaya with us and his wife Abigail, and he's recently completed his doctorate degree, and he's willing to share that. It'll be online, and so we look forward to being able to read his thesis and what's been entailed with that, but he'll share a little more about that during our sermon time as well. But there was a microphone Rich will be bringing. If you put your hand in the air, we invite your joys and concerns. Praise God. Give God a praise offering. Amen. Miracles still at work every day of our lives. Amen. There was a praise this morning. You remember Renee Brown sharing about her Aunt Bonnie, and she had her procedure done, and the mass has been removed, and she's well on her way to recovery. So we praise God for his work in Renee's aunt's life as well. And Tim is back home, as you know, and we're praising God for what he's doing in Tim's life. And so we just are so overwhelmed by what God continues to do. And that's what happens when we surrender and we just continue to commit to prayer for our brothers and sisters. So we look forward to what God has in store. Yes. And it's a joy. There's many part of the bridal party, the groomsmen and bridesmaids that were here first service, but some here as well during the second service. And we are thankful for Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Wise, and they're preparing their departure for Jamaica. And we just look forward to how God moves in their marriage. And we pray that we too would commit our marriages to the Lord and keep him at the center as we communicate openly with one another and as we show what the church looks like through our marriages. So be Christ-centered in our marriages and in our relationships to our children and one another. Any other joys or concerns? It's good to see Vera back with us this morning and Ruth back with us this morning and so many other faces. Let's pray. Father, we are so overwhelmed by your goodness. We are so thankful for the love, the unconditional love that you put forth into our lives. And we know, Father, it's often difficult to share that love with others that we don't always agree with. But Father, we're praying even in the face of adversity, we would show love. We would demonstrate forgiveness. We would allow mercy to go forth. We just pray, Father, for your continued healing touch upon many in our congregation. And we pray for Rufus and Dorothy, and for Ruth and John, and for Carl and Faye, and for Earl and Grace, and for Carol and Pete, and for Eugene and Mary, and for Bonnie Schwenk, for Marlene Blatt, and for Vera and Donovan, and for Eric, and for the Repperts, and for Jean. And we lift up John Kruger, and we lift up Ruth, and we just pray, Father, again, your healing touch. If there be cancer, if there be illness stricken, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, the most powerful name, the great physician, that your healing would go forth. But Father, we too realize in the midst of that illness, you are indeed with us. And we pray for strength. We pray for encouragement when we're feeling overwhelmed by our suffering. So we lift up our brothers and sisters of the EYN. And Father, you know the last 3 years what they've endured. You know what they've gone through. And Father, we pray your continued presence in each of their lives. You would give them strength. You would give them encouragement and give them the words to speak and the peace to surround them as they minister among their own groups of people and those outside of their group of people, the Church of the Brethren. And we just thank you, Father, for the safety that you have given Sue in her travels, and pray you would continue to give her safety as she goes to Vancouver, Washington, and others traveling to annual conference. We lift up prayers for them for safe travels. And we just thank you, Father, for meeting us here in this place. You know the mourning that we've had already. You know the week that we've been through, and we celebrate marriages, but Father, we celebrate the victories that we've had, but we also pray for those challenges that we've gone through. And we know, Father, that you indeed continue to go with us. So we ask you now, Father, to show us your grace and show us your forgiveness as we come before you, confessing our sin and asking for those things. And we also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Father God, we know that you are sovereign. We are very much aware you know every single detail about each and every single one of us. And Father, we don't attempt in any way whatsoever to hide anything from you. We come fully open before you. We ask you to continue to speak into our individual circumstances. Father, if you know the brokenness within us, we pray for restoration. You know the loneliness that we feel, we pray that you would accompany us and let us feel your presence in a real way. You know, Father, the direction that we're seeking, and we're asking you, Father, to guide us through your Holy Spirit into the way that you would have us go. But most of all, Father, we just pray that you would allow the words from our mouths, the actions from our hands, to be representative of your Son, Jesus. Let us be light to this world. Let us show love. Let us be compassionate. Let us have patience. And we know, Father, as we do those things, as we're honoring you and obeying you in all that we do, your love, your power through your word goes forth. And others come to know you. Others start to question, why do you act the way you act? And we have an answer because of you, Father. And we thank you so much for your Spirit's guidance in our lives. And we pray that you would continue to be with us. And thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Able to offer out of the abundance the Lord has provided us in our giving this week. And we just pray that our giving would be out of cheerful hearts. We would recognize the blessings God has bestowed upon us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you.
for the blessings you give us, for the overabundance that we have. And we know, Father, in this very moment, you're calling us to give out of our hearts, to give willingly, to give cheerfully. And Father, you know the work of the Church of the Brethren, the work of Little Swatara. And we know the finances it requires. And we just pray, Father, that in the abundance we have, we would overflow that abundance into the offering plate this morning and just allow your work to be carried on. May you continue to bless us, bless the missions before us, and allow us to be worthy of being able to be cheerful givers. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward for this morning's children's moment.
Good morning. Good morning.
So I have a question for you guys this morning. Have you ever been afraid?
Yeah.
What caused you to be afraid?
I'm tornadoes.
Tornadoes, okay. What made you afraid? Lightning, okay. Okay, anything else cause you to be afraid? What about snakes? Does anyone like snakes? Yeah, they cause me to be a little afraid. Do you like heights? Do you like to climb up really big, tall trees?
Alligators,
yeah, they can cause fear, can't they? Hurricanes, yeah, the weather can really cause us some fear. What about something that makes you worried? It might be some of the same answers you already gave me. But what might cause you to worry? Anything make you worry?
Plane might run out of fuel in the air.
That would make me worry. The plane has enough fuel in it to get you from one point to the next point.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That could be tragic. That would be worrisome. Have you ever been in the house and you thought your parents were in the house, but then you went to look for them and you really couldn't find them? Did you ever get worried when you were looking for your parents and they just didn't seem to be where you thought they would be? That can cause worry. What about discouraged? Do you ever get discouraged? What about in school? I know you don't want to think about school right now, but what might cause you to be discouraged in school? You know, LaShane, my son, he said math class makes him discouraged.
Science.
Science class for you? Yeah. What about words like not knowing if you have any friends? You feel like you don't have any friends. Can that make you feel discouraged? Or maybe there's a class like LaShane was talking about that he struggles in, and that fear of failure. Is that something that might make you feel discouraged? Or maybe you've been injured before. Anyone ever have a broken bone before? Any of you guys ever broke a bone?
Not me.
No, not you guys? Okay. And something else that can make us feel discouraged, if someone like makes fun of us or they criticize us, that can make us feel discouraged too, can it? Well, today there's this story about this woman. Her name is Sevilla Martin. I want you to repeat that name with me. It's a very important name. Sevilla Martin.
Sevilla Martin.
She wrote a song about overcoming fear, worry, and discouragement. Mrs. Martin and her husband were visiting a couple named Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle, and they lived in Elmira, New York. Mr. Doolittle was crippled and had to move about in a wheelchair. Mrs. Doolittle had been confined to bed for over 20 years. But you know what? Despite the problems that they faced, they always seemed to have a cheerful outlook on life. Do you know anyone like that? No matter what's going on around them, they can still be cheerful. You ever wonder, how can they still be cheerful, even with all the pain, all the hardship, all the things that are going on around them? You ever wonder what that is? What causes them to still be cheerful? Do you guys know what it means to give a Sunday school answer? What would the Sunday school answer be in this case? Jesus, right? Jesus, very good. Jesus is the reason they could be so joyful despite what's going on around them. So Mrs. Doolittle replied this. She goes, if God has his eye on the sparrow, then I know he's watching over me. So Mrs. Martin was so touched by Mrs. Doolittle's reply, she wrote a poem that later became the song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. So the next time you hear His Eye is on the Sparrow, you'll be reminded of this children's moment. But in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is teaching his disciples that even though they're going to be facing difficult times, they shouldn't be afraid. He said to them, two sparrows are sold for one copper coin, but no single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Isn't that just amazing? Is that cool? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you know everything we go through. We thank you, Father, that nothing happens to us that you're not aware of. Father, we pray that when we feel lonely, when we feel abandoned, when it seems our prayers aren't being answered, when everything seems hopeless, may we know that you care. We ask you, Father, as your eye is on the sparrow, that we would be reminded you're watching over us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful week. Would you pray with me? Father, we again just come before you. We're continually reminded of your presence. We're so blessed by small children, by the hearts that they have, by the love that they show. And we pray, Father, as a congregation, we would gather around them and show them your love and show them your way through what your word speaks to us. And we pray now, Father, as we gather around your word, as we hear a real story about what's happening in a particular area, that we would be moved and we would be touched in ways that would spark our faith, that would cause us to do things outside of our comfort zone, to be able to reach out and to be able to pray in more powerful ways. But Father, now we center on your word and what you have in store for us. May we have ears to hear. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. In the midst of hardship, in the face of persecution, it's tempting to point our fingers at God and say, "Why aren't you doing anything?" And in the midst of that silence, God speaks to us and he says, "I am doing something. I have created you." Friends, we must realize that there's no greater force in the world than believers united for a cause, than believers connected through the Spirit of God to bring joy, to bring peace, to offer encouragement, to lend a helping hand. In our scripture this morning, 2 Timothy 3:10 to 17, we hear these words: "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We recognize here that Paul is saying that he has not hidden what he believes from anyone. And we too shall keep our faith alive and active, bursting forth into this world. It's the way Paul conducted his life, the way we should conduct our lives, that speak for us, as well as the words which we speak. It's no secret. We can't begin to hide it when we're surrendered to the service of the Lord. Paul, we know, fought hard, even in Jerusalem, for what he believed the doctrine of the church to be. We know it's what it's called, a life of sacrifice. A life where we surrender fully to the service of God. Paul knew what it meant to endure stoning and other hardships, but here's why he was willing to endure that: to bring the message of Christ to an unsaved world. He says it himself, that he would be all things to all people, that by all means he might save some.
So you may be sitting here this morning and you may be wondering, why am I here? What is my purpose? And might I encourage you to consider your purpose is to bring as many people to Christ as possible. Persecutions we know have been known to our dear brothers and sisters of the EYN. That word persecutions comes from a Greek verb that literally means to put to flight. And we know our dear brothers and sisters in many cases were forced to flee. But as we'll hear and as the scripture reads, the Lord delivered them. Today, may more than ever, may we realize the Lord is with us in every circumstance. As faithful followers, we must expect persecution and sufferings at the hands of this Christ-rejecting world. It's true in Paul's time. It's true today. And Jesus goes on to tell Paul that he would suffer for the gospel's sake. Throughout the Old and New Testament, we see persecutions abounding for servants of God. Paul makes it clear to us that we are not alone. And he goes on to encourage us to not let our minds be swayed by the false doctrines that are circulating. Friends, may I encourage us this morning to remain connected to the good news of the gospel. And as we learn more and more of the good news of the gospel, I encourage us to please apply that to your life. Share that with others. And then pray and watch what God does. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce to us Dr. Daniel Mbaya. He's the General Secretary of the EYN for the Church of the Brethren. And we'll hear how God has been interacting in the lives of our brothers and sisters there and within our own denominations here in the States. Brother Daniel.
Pastor Mark and the entire members of this lovely and lovely family of faith, on behalf of myself and my wife, who is here, Abigail, on behalf of the EYN president and his wife, who are also in the States and are in different congregations at this moment, sharing our experiences and our witness as a peace church in a violent context, and on behalf of all brothers and sisters of EYN, I bring you greetings of love, joy, and peace in Jesus' name. It is with great pleasure and sense of responsibility I am here today, and thank you, Pastor Mark, for the opportunity to share about our experiences in the midst of persecution in Nigeria. Let me briefly state that we are here and we will be attending the annual conference at Michigan, but of course, most importantly, is to have time like this in your worship places to share with you and to appreciate you for standing with us and for journeying together with us in our moments of trials and difficulties. EYN, as most of you are aware, came into existence some 94, 95 years ago, precisely March 17th, 1923. And through the activities and the mission activities of the Church of the Brethren here in the U.S. And we have predominantly been in the northeastern part of Nigeria. Nigeria is a country that is vast and, of course, with a population of about 170 million people. We have in Nigeria Islam, which has been there since the 11th century, and then we have the Christian faith, and then we have traditional African worshippers. Of course, we have other Jews, Judaism, and other religious groups, but we have three major religious groups. And then Nigeria is having 250 ethnic nationalities and living languages. So Nigeria is composed of so diverse cultures and diverse people. And of course, that makes the political landscape very challenging and very difficult. Of course, over the years, for the past 5-6 years, Nigeria has been in the news as a nation that is bedeviled by violence. And true to it, it is a violent context. Now, Let me share with you that over this past few years, that the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria have been tested. And thank God, our peace stance have made us to survive and to be alive and to continue to witness Christ Jesus in the midst of persecution. But of course, let me first thank you on behalf of the church back home for standing by us in Acts of the Apostles, the vision of St. Paul, Acts of the Apostles 16 and verse 9. St. Paul saw a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and pleading for him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Of course, the Church of the Brethren here in the United States, as well as Mission 21 in Germany and Switzerland, our partner missionaries, have stood by us in the challenging times we found ourselves. And by standing by us through prayers and through support, the church has suffered. And at a certain time, the former president of EYN said that EYN was in coma, but we were not yet dead. And thank God we are coming out from the coma, and we are coming out strong, and we are coming out more vibrant. And of course, our members are resilient, even in the midst and in the face of persecution. Let me appreciate my brother and Pam for hosting us, and also the pastor for allowing us to share with you. EYN is divided into 50 district church councils. And for a district to be organized, you have to have a minimum of 5 local congregations like the church here. And of course, in our congregation, a congregation has to have a minimum of 100 communicant members, baptized members, before you can form a local congregation. So at a minimum, you have to have more than 500 members before they could be formed and organized into a district church council. So at the heat of the insurgency, out of the 50 district church councils, we lost 43, and then we were left with only 7 surviving district church councils. This tells you the level of devastation and the level of the persecution. At the heat of it, we have 100,000 internally displaced members of the church. So over 100,000 members were displaced and then taking refuge in other states and, of course, in the neighboring countries. As I stand here this morning, we have in Cameroon, a neighboring country to Nigeria, over 16,700 of EYN members who are in the camps at Cameroon. And then we have a lot of camps that are being managed by EYN. And of course, the situations in the camps are horrible. There are reported cases of cholera outbreak, there are malnutrition, and there are a lot of hunger in the camps. Of course, healthcare services are inadequate in the camps. More to that, EYN has lost on record 8,038 members who were killed, out of which 7 are pastors of EYN. Out of the 276 abducted Chibok school girls that have been so popular and have made the news, 219 of these girls are EYN members. And then as I speak now, 103 of them have regained their freedom. But what has worried the church and the church leadership is this, that it just means they have changed prison. They have been freed from the Boko Haram prison and are kept as prisoners in the government custody. Since they were released, 21 of them were released last year, October, and they have not been integrated with their families and they have not been sent back to school. So they have been kept by the government. As a church and as leaders of the church, we have stood out, we have cried out, we have spoken on the media, we have spoken to international community that Nigerian government need to release these girls to go back to their parents and to reintegrate them into the community and then to allow them to go back to schools because they were taken away from their schools. But even as at now, no access to them and their parents have no access to them, and this has been, of course, a major challenge. Now, out of the destructions that the church has suffered, our church buildings, over 1,000 of church buildings have been destroyed of EYN. The headquarters that used to be where the headquarters of EYN is at the northeast in Korhi near Mubi. That also has served as the headquarters of the Boko Haram when they overran the headquarters. They overran the EYN headquarters in 2014 and they stayed in there for about 3 weeks. And in there for 3 weeks, God used their being there because they were thinking that they have already captured it and they will make it their caliphate. Of course, the entire area, that will be, serve as their headquarters. Because of that, God made it in such a way that they couldn't destroy the structure. They couldn't destroy the headquarters. They couldn't destroy the Calp Bible College. They couldn't destroy the health clinic. Neither could they destroy the comprehensive secondary school. So we have two schools, and then the clinic, and then the headquarters. Fortunately, because they were there, what they succeeded in doing was to destroy all the ceilings and to shatter all the doors and the windows, but the structure was still there. So when we were elected in office last year, in May 3rd, precisely 2016, at the end of August last year, we decided to go back to the headquarters where the Boko Haram stayed, in the same rooms and the same houses where the Boko Haram stayed. So we went back. Of course, it was a source of concern for the whole church, because the whole church was saying it was too early for us to go back and then to stay there because it was still unsafe. But we said we have to give hope to our members and to strengthen them even in the midst of that difficult situation. So we returned back. But we went back to meet a very difficult situation. The members whom the communities have been captured back went back, and a lot of them, their houses were not there anymore. They could only locate a trace of where their houses had been because it was destroyed and the mud bricks or whatever bricks were all vandalized and nothing was there. And then there was no food. And for about 3 years and some 4 years, they could not go to farm. And of course, Nigeria depended on oil so very much, and agriculture wasn't so much emphasized. Now the oil has crashed, and then food prices have skyrocketed. So it's very challenging and very difficult. So the church is being faced with a situation of trying to provide food items for the returnees. So far, with the help that we have received from the Church of the Brethren here and Mission 21, we were able to support about 6,000 families with foodstuff and food-related items. But of course, this is just a drop in the ocean because the devastation has been so much. So far, we have supported 230 families with roofing kits. What we expect the families to do is just erect the mud structure, and then the church will supply you with 2 bundles of zinc for the roofing, and then window and doors. And this also has been so helpful. Another area that the church has been challenged and then we are struggling to handle is the aspect of trauma healing. Of course, upon return, we discovered that at first there were about 258 pastors that were out of job because the churches were no longer there, with over 1,000 of evangelists and missionaries that also lost their job as a result of the insurgency. So these pastors were traumatized for 2-3 years. They have no salary, their children could not go to school, and healthcare services aren't there. So the pastors then became a little bit aggressive. Then the questions that were being asked to the church leaders has been, where is God when it hurts? And then some were beginning to say, is it not yet time for us to begin to react to this violent situation in a violent way? And some are even saying, let us reinterpret Jesus' statement that when you are struck on one side of the cheek, turn to him the other. They said, we have both our cheeks struck. Now there is no any other cheek to return to. Now the church leaders, we are being faced with trying to bring people to understand that even in the midst of these challenges and the persecution, we still have to obey the word of Christ, that we are people of peace and we have to be agents of peace and we have to be peace builders. So with this, now we sent 9 of our leaders to Rwanda. I want to believe all of you know about the story of Rwanda after the genocide. Then some experts developed a curriculum on trauma healing. So we sent 9 of our leaders to Rwanda, and they went and had training in trauma healing, and they are back in the country. And then we have been organizing retreats and workshops on trauma healing at the district level, at the local level. And then the women ministry are handling trauma healing for women and for children. And even at the Sunday school level, we have organized trauma healing for children. And this has been so helpful. The results are so there tangibly to see and that. But the major focus that the church is being faced with, number one, is issue of food supply. Because people are hungry, and when you visit the churches, you could see hunger on the faces of everyone. When we took over office, We zoned EYN, the whole of the country, into 18, and we visited every segment and section of EYN. And when we visited, we could see hunger on faces of everyone. We could see, because they couldn't go to farm, and then the food is not there, and then hunger is everywhere. So the first the major focus we are being faced with is how do we address the issue of food supply to these members that have kept their faith in the midst of persecution, and they have not retaliated, and then they are back, and then there is no food. The second is we have over 8,000 widows now. Widows, young ladies who are married, but their husbands were killed as a result of this insurgency. Now, how do we then make these widows to have a means of livelihood? What do we do for them? Out of them, we just have only 120 that have been given stipends as step-up funds for them to do small-scale businesses. But 120 out of 8,000 is a drop in an ocean. And then we have over 10,000 orphans, orphans that are made orphans because of the activities of the Boko Haram. There was one pastor in the southern part of the nation by the name Pastor Florence Shaw who has been taking care of 2,800 of the orphans. But the remaining are all at the mercy of the church and then some of their siblings who also have their resources depleted because of supporting the IDPs. So how do we return these orphans to school? Because for 3 years and some 4 years, they have no public schools to go to because all the schools are closed as a result of the activities of the Boko Haram. So we are still struggling also to ensure that we start up some schools in some places so that these children could have access to education and that their future could also be guaranteed. Now we have also the challenge, of course, of rebuilding the churches and rebuilding, of course, the communities back home. As I said, only 230 family houses have been rebuilt so far with the support of the Roving Kids, but more are still needed and more still needs to be done because the houses are not there. As to churches, I said we have over 1,000 churches that do not have any worship place now. And let me say this, that in Nigeria, unlike here, in Nigeria where we gather to worship, we gather in hundreds and in thousands. Pam could be a witness. She worshipped in a church where I was a pastor, and our average Sunday attendance is 2,000 people. This is excluding children. And then we could have in the Sunday school, an average attendance of the Sunday school is 600 children. So if you put the children and then the adults, we have an average Sunday worship of 2,600 people. Now, this is the kind of the worship services we have. And imagine that you have 2,000 people, and then there are no seats, and then there's no shade over you. And then now it's rainy season, and then in the midst of the rainy season, when it rains, you have to close the service because people couldn't come to worship. So this is, of course, a major challenge that the church leadership are being confronted with, and we are trying to handle that. Now, we look at all this, and then we have to share with you. Let me also say in a positive light, in the midst of all this and the questions even raised by members, the other question that I will say it on a positive light is, what has been the secret that has kept the church in all these years of persecution? The church has remained peaceful. The church had been agent of peace in the midst of persecution, and the church has witnessed Christ even in the midst of this. The simple answer we could give people is the grace of God and being committed to the teaching of Christ Jesus, that he said that vengeance in his is his and we shouldn't in any way be violent. So the peace witness of EYN has been yielding fruits and yielding fruits. On a positive light, in the midst of this persecution, this year, by the grace of God, we will be organizing about 30 local congregations outside where EYN has been operating for the past 90-something years. And this has been as a result of persecution, so we are moving forward. Another aspect that I will say on a positive light is this, that a lot of Christians have become so committed and so dedicated to the gospel, much more than they used to be. Some who never go to church before the persecution, now they have started going to church and being active members and actively participating in the service of God. And this is also something good. Three is this, that EYN Peace Witness has been a challenge even to other sister churches in Nigeria, that having faced this and then we have not reacted violently, then indeed we are witnessing Christ Jesus. Number four is that a lot of Muslims are coming now to accept Christ Jesus as a result of the peace witness of the Church of the Brethren. When we had the opportunity to visit the executive governor of Borno State, and Borno State is the headquarters of the Boko Haram. And when we visited him and we told him clearly about the kind of evil that has been done against the church and the suffering that people are passing through, and when he was to react, he said that truly this church is a peace church and this church is a church that are worshiping through God. So that testimony itself, and many Muslims are testifying that truly Christians are people of peace. Of course, EYN has what we call CAMPI, Christians and Muslims Peace Initiative. And this is an initiative that we bring in Muslims and Christians and we sit round table and try to talk to ourselves and try to say the truth to ourselves and address the issue of violence in either religion, more especially in the Islamic faith, so that we will live together in peace and then have a nation that is peaceful and continue to move forward. So one thing that has stood out is this, that EYN has always demonstrated that peace is the way to go, and non-violence, there is no option or no alternative to non-violence. Now, our call to you is this, that having come out to share with you, to appreciate you for your prayers, to appreciate you for your support, but to also share with you so that you will hear from us what the Lord has been doing, the pains we have been passing through, but keeping the light of Christ Jesus even in the midst of the pains. And thank you, Mark, for your topic, which is really timely: faith in face of persecution. The Church of the Brethren in Nigeria have remained and kept to the faith even in the midst of persecution. Now, in the rebuilding process, we have put in place work camps and inviting people all over the world to come and then indeed to participate in rebuilding of the churches and our communities back home. So if you felt called, you can come over to Nigeria. Yes, the news is very scary, that we're safe if we go, but the Lord had been faithful. And let me say this, I wouldn't take so long time. Let me say this. When we were fleeing, more especially in 2014, it was in the rainy season. And those who know the tropical climate, there are lots of snakes, lots of scorpions. And then we had to flee and then sleep in the bush. And some slept in the bush while it was raining. And of course, when it rains, all snakes have to move out from the hole because the holes will be filled with water and then the snakes will have to come out. But I will have to say to you that God truly proved himself God to all of us. We had very, very few cases of those that died as a result of snake bites. In the midst of sleeping in the bush and on the floor and on the ground, on the grasses, God protected us and God kept us alive. And then we are still alive and still professing Christ Jesus and still being faithful to his teaching. So God is so wonderful and God is so faithful. So if you will come to us, of course, we say Zumunchi Akafayake, fellowship is in the feet. And then when you come to us, then we will be strengthened and we will be blessed by your coming and that partner with us as we continue to rebuild EYN. Let me say this, that of course our being here is also very challenging and very difficult, but we have a hope that there is future for Nigeria. There is future that Nigerian Muslims and Nigerian Christians will again continue to live together in peace. We have hope that this will happen. And there are three or so or four ways that this will happen. If EYN continues, and we will continue because we have emphasized to our members that nobody will take up arms against anyone because we are made to bring life and not to kill. So EYN continues with the peace stance, and then other churches will take a leaf from EYN and then be peaceful. There will be peace. Two, if the international community and all well-meaning people and the church will then ensure education is made available to all people, because Islam thrives a lot on ignorance. And if a lot of these Muslim children could be educated, they will begin to question the interpretation given to them by their clerics and things will change. Number three, empowerment. There is a lot of poverty in the land. And if people are empowered then of course they will have something that they are holding on, and they will know that they wouldn't like to destroy someone's property because they have owned something. And if these are put together, then we know that there will be peace one day, and that we will have an atmosphere where the gospel will continuously be preached. Thank you, Pastor.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the mighty, mighty work that you're doing through our brother Daniel. We know, Father, that your work is not yet complete and you have much to do. And we are trusting in the most powerful name of Jesus through the Spirit's guidance to lead the EYN, to direct our brother Daniel and many others in leadership the way that they should go. We thank you, Father, for the peace that you have allowed them to bring forth in the lives of others, that they can see the peace stance that they have. And we pray, Father, here in the States, we too would have that peace stance. We pray, Father, your mighty works would continue. We pray we would respond as congregations here in the States to the needs that they have to send workers, to send money, to send our prayers. But most importantly, Father, we pray for the hope to continue to be within their souls as they face this persecution. We know, Father, you have mighty, mighty plans for them. And we ask that you would bless them, that you would anoint them for such a time as this. And we thank you for this time of sharing. And it's in Jesus' most precious, precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
With peace, may we go forth singing the joy that our salvation brings us. As we close this service, may you join me in the doxology, praising our Lord. Praise God from whom all